Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7. We are right there towards the middle of the closing of Matthew chapter 7. We are kind of in the introduction of the conclusion. And last week we preached from the same passage. We talked about the same words, but we emphasized, remember, the subtlety of false prophets. If you were here, you'll remember that. And I'm going to tell you that as we talk about Christ Jesus, who said to judge the fruits, some folks have a little hard time with this particular passage that we're about to read, because if you look back at verse 1 and verse 2 and that early part of chapter 7, do you remember Jesus says, judge not unless you be judged? Do you remember that? And some people say, well, we're not supposed to judge people. Well, understand this. This is a warning given by Jesus Christ himself following right behind that judge not passage. And recall, I preached some not too long ago about that judge not passage. And it doesn't mean that we're forbidden to judge anything. We are called on indeed to judge between good and evil. Amen? So what is it we're not supposed to judge? It means that we're not to condemn others. We're not to condemn others. That's God's job. You cannot know someone's motive, and God says, you let me judge the heart, you judge the fruit, and decide whether you're going to be a part of their life and works and ministry. Amen? So you are to judge the fruit. Scripture tells us that. Then in verse 3, if you go back and look, Christ told us not to have the kind of critical spirit. And this is where we need to be careful. You know, this is where people point at us and say, those hypocrites. So be very careful. Verse 3 tells us that we're not to have the kind of spirit that would condemn the speck in somebody else's eye when we've got a 2x4 in the middle of ours. You get that? Don't you love that illustration? Tell me Christ does not have a sense of humor. So, the false prophets that we're talking about never are happy with some of the statements of Jesus. They just don't like all of the Bible. They like some of the Bible. If you go back and look at Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus described the Pharisees and the Sadducees as a bunch of whitewashed tombs, what does that mean? They're white and pretty on the outside, but they're full of rotting flesh on the inside. Whereas the false prophets try to find something nice to say about everybody, including the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus just said, beware of them. They are rotting on the inside. But these words that we just are about to read, that we read last week, are words given by our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we read them again, we've got to face them, and we've got to understand that Christ has a reason for giving us these warnings. So let's read his warning again. So would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to read Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Now, I'm going to be reading this morning from the King James Version. I really like the wordage using here, and I want to make sure that we use them. But beginning with verse 15, Christ Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree, how many trees? Every tree that bringeth forth not, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. What does that mean, hewn down? Chopped down, cut up, and then it's cast into the, nobody wanted to say that word out loud. It's cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. By their fruits, you shall know them. Father, we pray for your help to not just to understand, which we need, but we also need your strength and power to put it into practice. Sometimes it's hard, but Lord, give us the tenacity and the desire to know your truth so well that we can discern good and bad fruit. Help us, Father, to have a desire to do that, because sometimes we get distracted and we really don't look. We like the ease. So help us, Father, not just to be hearers only of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To be seated. We just read this warning again from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And notice that he starts with and finishes with some of the same words. And those same words are, you will know them by their fruits. Now, it's got an S on the end, so it's not just once here or once there, but many times over. So let's start with the understanding of what God's word said, you will know them by their fruits. So let's talk about first the corrupt tree or the bad tree. A lot of versions will say, talks about a bad tree produces bad fruit. The King James Version uses that word corrupt. A corrupt tree produces evil fruit. So look at verse 17 and 18 again. It said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth what? Evil fruit, bad fruit. So the corrupt. What does corrupt mean? We understand that word. We know we can sit there and probably the word we use that up, we say, well, you know, we've got a corrupt government, or we've got a corrupt legislature, or a corrupt this or a corrupt that. We understand what it means. Corrupt does not mean rotten or decayed from a physical sense, because they don't have any fruit at all, right? If a tree is rotten and decaying and dead on the ground, we know that. We see that. But the corrupt tree is very alive, and it looks just like a good tree. Remember, we talked about that wolf in sheep's clothing. They look just like the good tree. But that does not mean that just because they look like a good tree, that they're producing good fruit. They don't produce the same fruit. Corrupt fruit, bad fruit, doesn't look nasty, and it doesn't look unappealing, but it's bad for you spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? It looks good. Do you remember in the garden? Do you remember when Eve was there with Satan, and Satan said, ah, look upon this tree and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did Eve say? She says, oh no, we were told by God not to eat that and not even to touch it. Adam was the one who said, don't touch it. Good advice. But God said, do not eat of it. And he said, look upon the tree, for it's pleasant. And it's good to eat. Something that is forbidden seems to always look better. Amen. You know, I learned in my grandma's pasture that the grass was greener over the septic tank. Beware. Beware of things that just look good. In order to discern the tree, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's corrupt or positive, you've got to inspect the fruit. Look for the fruit. Not just the words, but the fruit. The trees may look identical, but you'll know them by, again, one more time, by the what? By the fruit. Look what happens, what they're saying, what they're doing. Last week we focused on the false prophet's doctrine, that they will teach and they will preach and they will push a soft doctrine, but they'll leave out the very important things, the hard and the difficult things. Now we're not just looking at the doctrine, but we're looking at the matter of their life and of their conduct. Do they practice what they preach? Do you see what our Lord is impressing here for us today? In other words, what he's saying is that the Christian life is central to character, to integrity, not just the surface appearance, amen? Not just how you look. Not just how you appear, but what really comes out of your heart. Because Christianity is not just a belief, but it's a picture of our character, our integrity, what we believe in Christ. Fruit, folks, is the deep nature and the essence of a tree. A tree can look plain and simple, but produce some immaculate fruit. It is character of the Christian life, or fruit, if you will, for which we must be looking, not only in other people, but in ourselves. Do we go to the mirror and forget not just to check everybody else's fruit, but to forget to check our own? Look for the fruit. Is Christ producing kingdom results in us? Folks, there is a grave danger in being misled by appearances. Amen? The sheep's clothing, so to speak. We discussed last week how somebody can appear to be preaching the gospel, but not really doing so because they leave all those crucial things out. But Jesus is saying here, what he's saying is there is a real danger in trying to make ourselves Christian by just adding things to our life. In other words, we stay the same as we were, but we add church. We stay the same we were, but we actually might read our Bible occasionally. We stay the same in our hearts, but we get a new type of language that includes Christian lingo. We got to be very careful that we don't just have an outward appearance, but they actually have a change in heart and in life. Let me ask you this. How many people are trying to look and act Christian rather than becoming something absolutely and totally new in Jesus Christ? How many are doing that? How many are, you know, talking the talk, if you will, but not walking the walk? I guess this compares, if you will, to say that somebody needed a heart transplant, and so they go into surgery, and when they come out, they look at themselves in the mirror and they say, well, my face is all changed. And the doctor said, yeah, I decided to give you a facelift instead of heart surgery. Is that what we do? That's what the false prophet seeks for you to do. And sometimes that's the way we see it. We put on the Christian appearance, but the heart is what needed the surgery. Perhaps what we could say in a different way is that we get a makeover instead of being born again. Because Christ wants us to be born again. Isn't that what he said? You must be what? Born again. That means made new, starting all over. If you've been in church circles long enough, you've seen those who in the church are a constant source of difficulty. There's always somebody who seems to just have a difficult temper or temperament, and they seem to make everybody on eggshells and difficulty all the time. You know, I even think that a lot of these people, or most of them, think that they're saved. But what does God say about them according to their fruit? Do they bring the love of Christ around them and in them? Do they bring people to want to be drawn closer to the Lord, or do they seem to push people away? You know, that's been a source of difficulty in the church ever since there's been church. You go back and look, and even throughout the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there's always folks who seem to be teaching a false gospel. There's always folks who seem to be a problem. That's why I say, don't just look at the fruit of other people, but look at our own fruit. Remember the scripture that said, you know, do we look in a mirror and then walk away from the mirror and forget everything that we are? I guess we're going to deal with that soon, because in the scriptures that follow, Jesus says that there's going to be a time when these people appear before him in heaven at the great white throne judgment, and they say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many and wonderful things in your name? And Jesus is going to say what? Depart from me because I never knew you. Those folks are the ones who have done many things, but they haven't been reborn. Are you with me? So watch for the corrupt fruit. They come from corrupt trees. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that true Christianity is concerned with your heart, not with the outward appearance. Amen? You know, I can't change my appearance much. Can I make a confession? I've been trying to lose weight. Did you see that I lost 3 pounds? Now, y'all laughed at me. You know why? You can't see it. I see it because I'm wearing the same pants. Do those 3 pounds make a difference in how you view me? Probably not. You may say, Pastor, I'm worried about your health. And I appreciate that. You pray for me. But what is it that makes the difference in me? Is it a few pounds here or there? Or is it right here? Is that what makes the difference? Is it going to be that you love me a little less if I get a little rounder or grayer or more wrinkles? Why do you hear? Why do you love? Listen, it's because of the personality, the heart, the character that we grow to love people. Amen? That's exactly what Jesus is saying to us here. He said, quit worrying about what you're wearing, won't you? Instead, would you worry about what you're saying? Would you worry about how you're reaching out to people? It's not that we just say, you must be born again, but that we say, can I help you to learn what that means? Yes, I see your sin. But would you like to know how Christ can help you with that? Does that make sense? True Christianity is concerned with your heart. I've been going into the senior adult department on Sunday mornings because at 9:30 they sing in there. And I've enjoyed going in there and singing with them. We sang a song this morning that was entitled, I Want to Be a Christian in My Heart. I thought, man, we needed to sing that one in here today. I want to be a Christian in my heart. Not I want to be a Christian because of my car. Not because I want to be a Christian because of the church I attend. Not because I want to be a Christian in the way I dress, but I want to be a Christian in my heart. That's what Christ is saying right here in the Word. Be a Christian in your heart. That's what makes the difference. When Scripture talks about the man or the heart of the man, there we go. When Scripture talks about the heart of the man, it's speaking about our character, who we are as a person. Not about our emotions. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about, you know, what our emotions are. Are we afraid? Are we angry? Are we happy? Are we all lovey-dovey? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about who we are. We all have emotions, and different things that happen to us bring up emotions, but it's how we deal with those things that make us who we are. The emphasis here is on the emphasis of a man's heart, and the scripture that Jesus is saying here is the emphasis on the character of the tree. And how do we know the character of the tree? Because it's got the beautiful leaves and the wide limbs. How do we know the tree? By its what? By its fruit. The fruit is the heart of the tree. And fruit is the heart of you. Your heart determines the fruit, not how it looks on the outside. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. It's very much a similar teaching. But Jesus had gone to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were looking at Jesus, and they didn't like what he was doing because he was drawing so many people to him. So they began to try to pick things out to pick on. And they accused Jesus of working for the devil. They said, oh, he does all this work by the work of Beelzebub, by the devil. And Jesus said, really? Can a house divided stand? He says, if I was working for the devil, would I be preaching and teaching the good things? He says, you can't do that. And he starts to tell him again about good trees and good fruits. But they were angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They were angry because his disciples had walked through a wheat field and had grabbed some grains off of the stalks and had eaten them. And then they ate them without washing their hands. So that made them guilty of being bad men on the Sabbath. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 12, 33 and following, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Let me just tell you what he's saying. He's saying, look, if the tree produces good fruit, you've got to say it's a good tree. And if it produces bad fruit, you got to say it's a bad tree. He said, either make it good or bad. You can't have a bad tree with good fruit and a good tree with bad fruit. He said, either make it one or the other. Make up your minds. Which is it? Go by with things that you actually see. Don't say that good is of the devil and that the devil can do good. Are you with me on that? Easy teaching. It's not hard to understand that. And then he said, now listen, you don't see Jesus talk to anybody like this except for these people who are trying to discredit the word of God. And he said, you brood of vipers. You know what a brood of vipers is, right? That's a hole full of a bunch of poisonous snakes. Man, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of what? The heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now this teaching of Christ goes right along with what he had just said in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 15 of Matthew, Jesus said, he just said it plainly. He said, what comes from the heart is what defiles a man, not merely what you do on the surface. So he said, it's not because you wash your hands before you eat that makes you a Christian. And it's not just what you say, you know, that might be good on a little plane here or there. And it's not how you dress, and it's not where you go. It's what comes out of us that really counts. Not the ritual, but what comes from our heart. Have you ever noticed that your body is hard to direct? Hello? I'm going to use me again, because I've tried to avoid sugar for 2 weeks, and I'm going to tell you, every time I get around one of those chocolate candies in my mama's apartment, I just kind of go. I've got a bag of gummy bears in my office, and everybody knows that the pastor's kryptonite is gummy bears. And it's still there. But the body longs for it. Have you ever noticed that your body longs for things, the flesh longs for things, and I don't just mean our appetite, food-wise, but the appetite, even sexually, the appetite mentally, the appetite family, the appetite intelligence. Somehow the things of this world just seem to look so much better when we know we shouldn't. And Jesus says, you know what? You need to be really careful that you don't think that just because you avoid some of these things that you're like me. Because that's not what makes you a Christian. Because you can avoid this or avoid that. He said it is the heart and what comes out of your heart. So it's the spiritual and it's the things that come literally out of us that'll make the difference. Now what comes out of us? Whatever we put into the heart. Whatever we put in there, that's what comes out, Jesus says. You know what? It's the same thing with a balloon. If you blow a balloon up with air and you pop the balloon, what's going to come out? But if you fill it up with water and throw it at somebody and it pops, what's going to come out? Or, you know, I'm not going to confess to much more, except that shaving cream and water will come out if that's what you put in it. Is that what happens? Whatever you put in comes out. What are you putting in? Even our computer people know this, right? Anybody know the term GIGO for computers? Anybody know what it means? Garbage in, garbage out. What goes in? And Jesus said, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. So be careful what you put in. Jesus emphasized that what is in our hearts will proclaim itself. What's in our heart will come out in our beliefs. What's in our hearts will come out in our teaching. It'll come out in our doctrine. It'll come out in how we act. It comes out in how we live life. It's not always easy to see when people are not watching closely, but our Lord tells us that if our eyes are illuminated by His Word, if our eyes are illuminated by the Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to recognize these things. For instance, if you realize that certain things a Christian should be emphasizing are missing from somebody's teaching, they don't like to teach about the punishment, they don't like to teach about the end times, they don't like to teach about hell, they don't like to teach about the wrongness of sin, they don't like to teach about repentance, He says you'll recognize it. Things they should be emphasizing get omitted. In other words, that which is in a man's heart will be revealed in his life and also in his teaching. So as a man thinks, so eventually is he. That's why the Bible says to be very careful about what you put into your life. Jesus said, we just read that in verse 16 in chapter 7. He said, you don't get grapes of thorns and figs from thistles. Right? He said, you don't go out there and you don't go to the briar patch to find fruit. You know, there was a little song that was based on scripture, by the way. I don't know if any of you were Sunbeams. Anybody out there old enough to remember Sunbeams? Nobody? Wow. Maybe I'm older than I thought. Thank you, Rance. I saw that hand and called you out on it too. Sorry, bro. Nobody's going to raise their hand anymore. But there was a song we sang, and see if you remember this. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Do you remember it? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Sing it. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. We did that. Thank you. You made my day. It goes with the eyes. Goes with the ears. It goes with the feet. But God's word says, be careful what you hear. Because you see, what we put in eventually is going to come out. We might be deceived for a little while in thinking that something is good or that a tree is good. Because appearances can be deceiving. Amen? Listen, it's hard sometimes. But appearances do not last. Appearances, if that's all they are, do not last. Sooner or later, Jesus Christ said, the heart will be revealed. And that's where we need to be watching and careful. Now, if you will, the Puritans had a term for this. The Puritans, way back in the day, early part of American history, they had a term for this, and they called it temporary believers. Now, what was a temporary believer? Perhaps if you go back and you look in the scripture, the Bible would say that was the seed that fell on the thin and stony ground. They seemed to be converted. They said the right things. They did the right things for a while. They came under the influence of the gospel. But soon they began to give evidence that they never became truly Christians at all. This might take years. Because, they go and they're supposed to be learning, they're supposed to be growing, but they stay, in other words, babes in Christ, and they're tossed around by the waves of doctrine, the scripture says. And there's a discussion in 2 Peter chapter 2, and Peter very graphically describes these people who came into the church but soon had gone back out. Listen to what he said, 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and following. He says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having been washed to her wallowing in the mire." That's pretty descriptive. These temporary believers took a superficial or a temporary cleansing from the pollution of the world, but they did not give their nature to be cleansed by Jesus Christ. And that inner nature, sooner or later, whether it was cleansed or not cleansed, is going to reveal itself. Isn't that what he's saying here? The bad tree can't produce good fruit, and the good tree is not going to produce bad fruit. That's the understanding here when Jesus said, "Do men get grapes from thorns and figs from thistles?" That's what he's trying to say. You're going to know them by their fruit. So what are you? Who are you in Christ? So let me wrap this up. In brief, let me just tell you what I just told you, okay? What did Christ intend by this teaching? First of all, he's saying that we must not mistake false teaching for the real thing. Amen? Don't mistake false teaching for truth. Test it. It's okay and it's right to test it. To say, where do you find that in Scripture? You have the boldness to say that when somebody says something that doesn't sound right and the Holy Spirit within you goes, "Oh, hello." Does that ever happen to you when you hear something or see something? That's my question. So where do you find that in the Word of God? And if they ever find something, it's usually taken out of context. Know the Word. Be ready. Second thing is, don't be fooled by that looks like Christianity, but which really on the inside is a sham. It's only an outward appearance. Do you remember that the Bible says that there are many false prophets out there? And the Scripture says that we need to be careful, we need to beware, for Satan roams about like a roaring lion seeking people to devour. So don't be fooled by that just looks Christian. And the third thing is, the expectation for you, the expectation for me is that we are to search the Word of God. We are to search the Word of truth, all of God's Word, not neglecting any of the Word, because as we feed on the Word of God, we will know it. So you look it up yourself. Don't just ask somebody else, "Is this true?" Be able to determine it yourself. And where you have trouble, go to someone that you know is going to be in the Word of God. Don't just have many counselors, have godly counselors. Amen? I know that the Bible says that there's victory in the counsel of many. But understand that when the counsel comes, it tells us to go to godly people. People that are in the Word of God, that know the Word of God, that are proven in the Word of God. That's who you need to go to. And the fourth thing. When we listen to the teaching and to the preaching of others, we've got to do more than just listen. Don't just listen. Look carefully at the fruit. Amen? Christian people, I am not naive enough to think that the only place that you get fed is right here. I hope it's not. I pray it's not. I listen to the radio. I read a lot of books. Understand this, that God is calling you to be able to discern fruit from the people that you're listening to. Don't just hear, be a fruit inspector. I wish I could go around to every fruit that goes around and every person goes around and put my sticker on it, inspected by Gary, inspected by Gary, inspected by... I can't do that for everybody for you. You've got to do that. check what kind of fruit is produced in their ministry. And then, folks, if you really want to know about yourself, do the same. Be a fruit inspector for yourself. We should inspect our own fruit to see who we are in Christ as well. Does that make sense? I pray it does. Can I pray for you? Join me in prayer. Father, we realize that you said we're to be fruit inspectors, so help us not to neglect our own trees. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us, Father, to rely on you. Help us to be grounded in your word. And Father, we are so thankful for those who have been faithful to teach your word in truth. Thank you, God. So many wonderful ministers and preachers and teachers over the years that have been faithful to your word. God bless that teaching. And Lord, make us aware and make us wary of those who are doing it lacking the whole thing. And Father, our prayer this morning, each one of us, we ask you, Lord, to help us to inspect ourselves. Because, Father, it's not about where we attend or even that we attend, your church, but what's coming from our heart. And, God, even though our outward appearance may stumble and fall at times, God, would you let the people around us see our heart? Because we are weak. We stumble. We fall. We fail. But God, help us to have the heart that would say, I'm not staying there. Forgive me and help me to rise and walk with you and talk for you. So that, God, they're not just looking at the outward, but they're looking at our heart for you. And thank you, God, that your word says that when I do fail, that if I will repent, if I will ask you for forgiveness, you not only forgive my sin, but you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I need that. We need that. Help us to walk according to your word, your whole word, and nothing but your word. God will give you that strength. Start it today. Challenge teaching. Where is that in the Bible? Look to the heart and the fruit. God can use you even in your weakness. Praise God. If you want to be used, grow roots in Christ. Hold to the Father. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. Thank you, Jesus, for being there for us, even in our failures. And we pray, God, that we wouldn't stay there, amen, but that we would confess and move closer to you so that we might be used to bring forth good fruit because we're yours. Strengthen us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe this morning, with me, you would say, you know what? I foul up sometimes, but I want to keep producing the good fruit. Amen? I want my heart to be right. How do I do that? Confess it to God. Ask Him for strength. Start anew every day. Start anew every day. And ask God to help you produce the right kind of fruit. Amen?